Femimo Adeoni. I always have a big smile every time I'm listening to that opening promo. It gets me in my giggles. I hope you had a fantastic weekend. We've got Table to Break in 1 hour. Thank you for being here. If it's your first time, this is a gendered show. Let's get that off the table. So this is what we do here. We talk about issues that affect women and the society at large. What I help you to do is dig into the deep recesses of your thought and have those conversations that you've been pushing back because they're very uncomfortable. I help us all challenge stereotypes and cultures that inhibit women and on the long run inhibit the society as a whole. We're live on Facebook and YouTube. It's Nigeria Info 99.3. Please join me there. I'd love to read your comment. I'd also like to see you on YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. If you're outside Nigeria, you can call me over Skype. That's Nigeria Info FM. If you're here in Lagos or anywhere in Nigeria, you can listen over the mobile app. You can also listen over the website, nigeriainfo.fm. And you can call me on 01465-7190. If you are female, 01465-7190. If you are female, if you are male, then we've got many lines open for you when you call 0700-993-993-993. The show is in two parts. If it's your first time, the first half is when I just give you, you know, a summary of what my weekend was like, just a thought of my weekend. It's called the appetizer. After that, we go on to the main dish. So let's get started with the appetizer.
Here's the appetizer on Table Talk.
Yeah, so I had a thought over the weekend, and those of you who follow me on social media, you must have seen it on maybe the Facebook page or Twitter or somewhere. You know, I started wondering, why are Africans afraid of their family members? You know, they're borderline scared, they're borderline afraid of their family members. And I've thought back and forth. A lot of you who are listening, particularly those who are under 30, you possibly don't even know so many of your parents' relatives. So somehow, I see that a lot of family members cut off other family members and they just focus on them. Is that a healthy thing to do? Well, in some instances, maybe you need that for your sanity, but it then goes on to the children and the grandchildren who never get to know one another. God help you if they get married sometime in future, especially now that a lot of people also change their names, so you won't even know who's a family member anymore. Of course, some people gave me some thought around why this could happen, because sometimes the people who are closest to you wish you bad. And I think that's just highly unfortunate, because your family members should naturally be your pals. They should always have your back. But is that what truly happens? I don't think so. It was just a thought I had from the weekend. Why are Africans afraid of their family members? Why do they run away? They practically run away from their family members. Just think about it.
Now to the main dish on Table Talk. Table Talk.
All right, the main dish is where we set the meal of the day, and I'm absolutely ready for you. I hope you are too. Last week, we started the mother-in-law series. This is the second part. We're talking about the mother-in-law. Now, this is a show focused on women, and today we're going to talk about mother-in-laws. Last week, I asked you to just tell me about your mother-in-law, and we got both the fantastic report about fabulous, amazing mother-in-laws and the not-so-impressive, in fact, borderline scary ones. I can't even forget one of the stories you heard from, in fact, my very first caller last week gave me the jitters. But today, I want to ask you a question. I want to talk about the mother-in-law and control. So I thought deeply about why usually mother-in-laws and spouses have issues. And I think it boils down to two factors. Number one is suspicion. I mentioned that last week. So because of experiences that we've heard people have, a lot of wives go into marriage with suspicion. They're already anticipating that the in-laws will be troublesome or will give them trouble. The in-laws that are also receiving a new person into their family are also suspicious. So everybody's coming with this, I will show you. If you do anyhow, you see anyhow. You know, there's this attitude, there's this guardedness. Everybody's guarded. If you sneeze, they're checking how you sneeze. The initial approach is not love. It's suspicion. Secondly is control. A lot of family members say, oh, this woman has been my family all my life. you the husband, you can't know her better than me. So I must tell you how to deal with that. I must control you. The same thing, you flip it over. The man's family say, oh, we've been his family members all his life. You are just coming here. So we have to tell you how to relate with him. Forgetting that in a marriage, there are two people in a marriage. And it is not you, the family members. You are not part of the two. It's a husband and the wife. You are an addendum. You understand? You are supporting cast. You know those wakapas in films? They just use you to feel, you know, as feelers. You understand? That's what you are. So you can support them. But a lot of family members try to play more than a role more important than they should. You don't have that right. You should respect should be mutual. But today I want to talk about control. And it's interesting for me, and I'm focusing on women. I know that we've got father-in-law, sister-in-laws, brother-in-law issues, but we're focusing on the mother-in-law. And I have also found it very disturbing that a lot of these women who are now mother-in-laws, and if you're listening to me, please call me, a lot of them also suffered abuse. We've dealt with this, I mean, from the start of this year, we've talked about the concept of the ilioko, the husband's house, where, in fact, a lot of people will be told that as a woman, if you do not tolerate abuse and disrespect, then you are a bad wife. The yardstick for being a good wife in many parts of our culture is being able to tolerate abuse and disrespect and serve them with a smile. If you're not doing all of those, you're a terrible wife. Now, a lot of women who faced this terrible culture also grow up to become mother-in-laws. Why do you repeat and recycle this culture of abuse? That's the part I want to know today. Why do you think that women who have suffered this kind of abuse grow up into older mothers, into mother-in-laws, and then they recycle this abuse? They want to spread it around to the daughters-in-law because they also went through something like that. Let's talk about the culture of control and recycling of abuse. And how do you think that we can stop this culture and this recycling of abuse? Our path today is very clear. All right. Tell me what you think about the culture of control and abuse by mother-in-laws or vice versa. And how we can stop and end this culture. 0700-993-993-993. Female callers, 0146-57190. You can also reach me on Facebook and YouTube where we're live right now. Let's talk. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, I'm your first caller. I'm very lucky.
You are my first caller. I should have an award for first caller going forward. What do you think? Welcome good to morning. The show. Do you want to tell me your name or you want to stay anonymous?
No,
I'm
not staying anonymous. My name is Sam. All
right, please go on.
Yeah, you know, as kids, whatever a kid is being taught, with time it will grow and they will get used to it.
Yeah.
Just like when we were young, we said left hand is bad or so, something like that.
Yeah.
So that is how it becomes. And you know, through the religion and tradition, subjugation has been a weapon against the women.
Mm.
Like, seriously. And the men are really using it well. Because it is like, as if it is natural, but there's nothing natural about it.
There's nothing natural
that
about it.
That's why you will see in the family where the woman is vocal and the man is laid back.
Mm.
That does not mean that the man doesn't talk.
Yeah.
But one is more vocal than the other.
Yeah.
Then they will say the wife talks too much.
Oh, she has given him vegetable.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. And you forget that this your brother. You've always known that this your brother is not a talking person. But he marries a wife who's a talking person. And then you say, no, you can't be a talking person. Oh, how can you be the one? No. Let's calm down. Are you ready?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the show.
My name is Anthony.
Welcome, Anthony.
First time caller.
Hey, glad to have you here.
You know what? This issue
can
be tackled by we, the men.
Okay.
In the sense that before you come into marriage, do that homework. Why I said so, because I did it and it's working for me.
Okay.
What I did was, to start with, I didn't place my wife in the hands of my family. I made sure there was respect between my mom, my sisters, and my wife. One, what I did was, but for me, I don't know if it will work with somebody else, but for me, I didn't let my siblings to even know my wife till 2 months to the wedding. Yes, I knew what I was doing.
Because you know your family members very well.
You said?
I said you know your family members very well.
Oh, God have mercy. I have all sisters. I'm the only son.
Oh, yeah.
You get?
Yeah.
So that when I projected her, nobody had the guts to tell me, do this or do that. And even if we have occasions, she doesn't go there to go and sleep over us or to get there early in the morning. So nobody is going to push her around. I gave her that power. In fact, my own mother, let me go back to my own mother-in-law.
Yes.
There was a time when I was dating my wife.
Yes.
Are you there?
I'm with you. I'm with you.
I lost my job during that period. For a year plus, not knowing to me that my mother-in-law was the one giving my wife my transport fare whenever I want to go home.
Wow.
You can imagine my mother-in-law.
Wow.
My wife told me after our marriage.
Wow.
That was when the mom was late.
Wow.
That's one mother-in-law. Very, very good person.
Wow. She's an amazing.
And I did see what she does or what she did before she died to the daughter-in-law. That's the person married to the son.
Yeah.
So this thing, I believe some mother-in-laws should learn, and I guess the work can start from we, the men.
I agree.
Place
thank you very
your
much.
Wife on the highest thing.
I agree with you. Thank you very much. I totally agree. Let me paint a scenario. I mean, as he was talking, something came to mind. You know, I mentioned the issue of abuse. So a lot of these mothers who have become mother-in-laws suffered some form of abuse from possibly their husband's family members. You hear a lot of them saying, I'm here suffering only because of the children. And the children also grow up seeing their mothers suffer because she wanted to stay there with their father and keep something called a family, right? So that when they grow up, they won't say, oh, you came from a broken family. So the woman suffered all of those. So the children are somehow attached, emotionally attached to this mother who they saw suffer all her life because of them. So they think that they owe it to her that whatever she says is law. So you find a lot of men who would say, oh, yeah, I know my mother could be rude and disrespectful. In fact, a lot of people would not even agree. They said, whatever my mother says is final. You can't dispute her. I read an article today. I posted it on my Facebook page. That was this morning. A lady who was going to get married to a guy. I am very happy. I was really glad to read that she actually had a conversation with him. So they went on a kind of resort for a weekend and said, okay, let's talk. Where are we going in this relationship? Does it look like we're getting married? Yes, it does. So let's talk about our families. So the man tells her about his family members, his mother, his aunties, his uncles, all his extended family members. They're all close and they all have an important say in his life. And he said to the woman, if you marry me, you're going to have to just bite the bullet. Whatever my mother or auntie or any of my relations does to you, you will have to take it like that. So the woman asked him, so would you defend me? Would you speak up for me? I mean, if I didn't do anything and they bring trouble to me, what am I supposed to do? He says, you just take it like that. He said, oh, but if you're there, would you defend me? He said, no, I can't defend you. It's our culture. They can do whatever they want to you. And she said, oh, but can I speak up for myself? He said, no, that's going to be rude. You can't speak up for yourself. Oh, so I can't speak up for myself. You can't speak up for me. But I'm supposed to just stake everything like that. And she ran away. And I'm happy for her. Good morning. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to... My name is Mrs. Van Lee.
Welcome.
And I'm calling from Kenya. I
welcome.
Just want to say something.
Yeah.
You see, daughter-in-law of today, they come into the marriage, like you said, it's official.
Yeah.
I want to cite my own case.
Okay.
When because my son did not get married done.
Okay.
When he brought home the wife, I was very happy. I was overjoyed. I gave her all the support to ensure the marriage was consummated and stuff. But when she came in, there are some things you just don't, you can't see and look away. She's very lazy. She has always dirty. And I don't know, despite everything, because of the support that I gave to her, I did not stop. when there are issues between the husband and I'm always ready to fight her. To the extent that when she needs to take the children, the child to school and stuff like that, I have to tell my son, if you cannot get her a car, then you have to buy your own car. So she will take the husband to the bus stop to take transport to work. Why? If she needs to go out with the child, she has the car. That's the kind of support gave to her. But I later realized that you cannot correct her. If you notice something is bad and you call her, this is what I noticed. I feel you should do something about it. The next thing is to give you attitude. So eventually, I have to stay away from their house. But issues happened between her and the husband. And he didn't even feel it fit to report to me. She just took her things and left.
Wow.
How do you do this kind of thing? So my second son, when that one brought home the fiancé, I stayed away. I did not even go close to them at all. So it is now his own responsibility to be telling the wife, did you call mommy? Did you talk to her because she's outside the country? And later she has to call me, mommy, please, you can't use what happened between my brother and you to judge my fiancé. I believe you are getting, you are creating too much space between the two of you. So we should, at daughter-in-law, it's not that you are not doing, you are going there to take all the rubbish. You don't have to.
Yeah.
But at least you should, there should be a kind of barrier.
Yeah.
There should be some you will take, some you will not take.
Yes.
So that's just,
thank you.
They used to say, it is the woman that makes her home.
It's
what you want that determines where you be eventually. But our men too should be able to stand up when you need to defend your wife.
Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing. We appreciate you. Thank you very much. That's a mother-in-law who just called us. And like I said when I started, the issues that I found, the biggest issue, there might be more. Suspicion. And suspicion based on either your previous experience or the things that you've heard people experience. So you go there with your guards up. You're ready to fight. Even when there's no fight. So it's either ways. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Wamima. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Okay, so I'm not married, but my sister is married and we're very close. And I'll just give you her story.
Yes.
So she lives in the U.S. And her parents-in-law live here. So they came to the U.S. to stay with them. And she was having issues with her mother-in-law. So she called my mom and my mom was like, kill her with love. Do everything you would do, even more than you would do for me. And then their relationship became fantastic. Personally, and I'll give you two instances. Personally, I believe the husband is responsible. If your husband doesn't back you up, you're in trouble.
That's
his family. He knows them.
Yeah.
If he throws you to the dog, you have nobody to blame but him. There was my sister is a very, she wears a lot of risque kind of clothes. And this is something she always does in the U.S. So when she came to Nigeria one time, we were going to see her parents-in-law. I told her, don't wear what you're wearing. It's too much. She's like, no, this is what I wear. So we got there, and the mother-in-law was complaining. She called her husband right away. The husband called the mother and told her to leave his wife alone. This is, you know, she dresses this way. What, is it because you're in Nigeria making an issue out of it? Do you understand?
Yeah.
Now, there was a time 2 years ago that we went to their house here in Nigeria. And I was almost in tears because her parents-in-law stayed with them for 6 months. He had other brothers. They didn't go there. They stayed with my sister and her husband. And they were thanking her. They were almost giving her an award.
Wow.
That she's been there for them. She's been fantastic. So at the end of the day, killing them with love and your husband backing you up will go a really long way.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And you know, you see, you know, I mentioned love earlier on, is that both the new family, the new person coming to your family, and you that are, I mean, on both ends, I mean, the family of the wife or the family of the husband, in truth and in essence, a lot of people do not actually receive this new person as a member of their family. You're antagonistic. You're looking for fault. Because if you saw this person as your mother is not perfect. Your daughter is not perfect. No human being is perfect. But you expect perfection from someone you're just meeting. You expect them to behave the way you've always behaved. You expect them to think the way you and your family members have always thought. No, no. You two, calm down and ask yourself, is that fair? Is that even possible? Someone who's never lived with you would automatically begin to behave like you. It's not possible. So you need to always give people a long rope to pull and, you know, gradually help them assimilate. It's an assimilation. It's they need to blend into this new thing. All right. Let me head over to social media and take a few thoughts because I need to head out on a break shortly. WhatsApp is 08095975805. Let's start here. Thank you, Ugo. Got your message. Thank you. Anonymous from Lekki says, I built a boundary for my wife, my mother and my wife. She says her mother-in-laws cannot give what they don't have. There are things that she can pass to my wife without my knowledge, but outside that, any other thing that may break the ranks or the wall of my union with my wife, I draw the lines, including all my siblings, my aunties and uncles, because I uphold the word of the Bible that says, you have become one flesh. Okay, I got you. Let me go on a break. Let's do it this way. When I come back, I'll take a few more calls. I have another half an hour to go. You can send your messages to WhatsApp 08095975805. I'll see you again in a bit. Don't go away.
This is Table Talk with Wemi Mo.
Welcome back. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info, and you're listening to Table Talk. We're breaking a table today. It's the second part in the series, the in-law series, mother-in-law series. And today we're asking how we can break the culture of control and, you know, generally just misconfigure between mothers-in-law and wives specifically, and maybe vice versa. Maybe, you know, mothers-in-law and husbands, because last week we had a mix of both. But back on the phone lines, 0700-993-993-993. Female callers, 0146571190. Hello?
Oh, finally.
Finally.
Okay, so good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad you're here.
All right. So for the topic being discussed, I think I'll share some of my personal experience.
Okay.
And but generally, what I think is that both the mother-in-law and daughter-in-laws should make conscious efforts to take classes or study on relationship management.
Yeah.
It's important, especially family relationship. No matter how difficult someone is, if you master that, you may be able to relate with each other. There will just be few exceptions. So, that being said, I'm married for 2 years now, and I've had my mom live with me for a while, and then my mother-in-law for a while.
Yeah.
Not so long, maybe like 2 weeks. And I think I had more difficulty with my mom than my mother-in-law.
Wow.
And you're right about the suspicion thing. So what I see is that everybody comes, like you said, being suspicious, and we put up a guard.
Yeah.
And sometimes we make an issue that's out of no issue.
Yeah.
So when we come with a level playing ground, relate with people, whether it's the mother-in-law to the daughter-in-law, relate with people as they are, not as you assume they should be.
Right.
That will help. Right. And I see my mother-in-law like my mom. So there's nothing she can do that my mom probably would not do. And for the experience, I said, I remember preparing meals several times for my mom, and my mom's like, this is not what I want to eat. I didn't have that with my mother-in-law. She's like, anything you give you me, make. I'm cool with it. Because most times I even check with her, this is what you want, because I don't want to do two jobs at the same time. But my mom will be like, no, I don't just know what I want to eat. But because she's my mom and I know how we roll, I would tell her that, Mommy, I will change this next time. But the other time, I'll be like, Mommy, if you don't eat this, you have to enter the kitchen yourself.
Oh, you're going to drink
my
tea.
Mom, I know I can do that with my mom, and it's no big deal. Because I'm from the East, and I married someone that is Yoruba. Okay. But I can't do that with my mother-in-law. Because I know their own perception about respect is different, totally different from hers.
Yeah.
The way I talk with my mom, sometimes someone would even ask me when I'm talking to my mom on phone, is that your mom you're talking to? I would say yes. Not because I'm rude, but because they expect the type of reference, but we don't have that culture.
Yeah.
So if I'm talking about an issue with my mom, I can even say, Mommy, leave that thing. That's what we're going to do. And she'll be like, fine, don't worry. When it backfires, come ask me again. She might not take it as an issue. But I understand the dynamics of the culture where my mother-in-law is from. She's very sweet. But because I understand that, I'm able to navigate it. And I think to an extent, she has made conscious efforts to also understand mine. I've seen that she has made conscious efforts, because sometimes when people be like, oh, she didn't know, and she'll be like, oh, no, she's not from here. Mm. She just make excuse and not make a big deal out of it.
Right.
She has made conscious efforts to understand mine. So there must be that two interplay of conscious efforts to understand the person you're relating with
right.
as they are,
right.
not as you assume they should be.
Thank you very much. You're absolutely on point. And you see, it's very funny that, you know, as interested as a lot of people are in getting married, marriage and parenting are two parts, two things I see that people don't want to take lessons on. You don't want to learn. You assume that you knew. Have you been married before? Even if. No, there's a way they say, even though, is that how it's said? There's a funny way that thing is said. Even if you've been married before, there are things that you still need to learn. But, you know, same with parenting. You're having kids. It's not like you've had kids in your, maybe in your previous life. I don't know. You know, but you just go heads on into it. Also, I mean, you become a mother-in-law, a father-in-law. It's a new terrain. You've never had one before. Even if you've had, it's a new thing. Everyone should be open to learning. To become a doctor, you go to school to learn. To become an accountant, to become a broadcaster. I've had series of trainings. But when it comes to marriage and parenting, everybody just a rough arm. It's just rough it. So, I mean, what did you expect? Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Joseph, and I'm calling from Lagos, Ikeja.
Welcome,
so I've been
Joseph.
Following your topic about mother-in-laws. For me, I think at the end of the day, it all depends on the man. Like, whatever, how you want your wife to be treated, it's how she's going to be treated. And there's some things that your wife will do that at the end of the day, you should always call her to order. Because I have a friend who is almost getting married, and the wife is a very she's a very funny person. She's funny in a lot of ways, and my friend doesn't, because he's so much in love with her, he doesn't know how to correct her. Any little thing that the mother-in-law calls her to correct her, she gets angry, and for months or days she doesn't go around the mother-in-law and all of that. So the mother-in-law, because she knows that I'm best friends with the son, she's always telling me, please talk to your friend. And I'm like, me, I cannot though. Me, I'm not married yet. Before they will not come and abuse me and say, you were never married. Now you the give person advice. So at the end of the day, I believe it's the man. Like, the man has to take that footstep to make it work. Correction totally, because that's what I see about life. Because at the end of the day, no matter how good you are, no matter how professional you are, we keep learning every day.
Absolutely.
And there's nobody who has ever said, I have graduated and I don't need to learn anymore. So that's it.
Thank
and
you very
so
much.
I'm trying to give you the word that you were trying to get.
Regardless upon steel. I know there's a funny thing I've seen. Thank you. That's it. Regardless. See, Papa, yet. I've heard that one too. Regardless upon steel. That's it. So, yeah, I totally agree with you. And that's the thing I said about knowledge. But the funny thing is, you see, you can't even seek knowledge unless you know that there's something missing or something you need to learn. Interestingly, a lot of people have pointed to that, the fact that the man would have to play that role, you know, as a bridge, because you know your family members very well. Unless you're going to be, deceptive. If you're going to be serious and frank, you know your siblings. You know your parents. You know what they can do and what they can't do. You also know this person that you're getting married to. You know what they can do and what they can't do. So you have to be the bridge. If you flip it over, it's the same for the woman. You, as the woman, you know your parents. Because they're parents of the wife who are also, they're the ones who are the headache. They cause you the most headaches. So you know your parents very well. You know your siblings. And you know this person you're getting married to. You should serve as the bridge. But a lot of men still do not think that they even need to learn anything, or they need training for anything. Usually when you're talking parenting or marriage, they believe, oh, it's not to be a man and bring money. No, human relationships, it's more than that. I run a group for men. Look at my phone lines. Oh my goodness. I run a group for men on Facebook. So I know a lot of men still give feedback and say, oh no, I mean, don't worry about this training. I got it together. Don't worry. He asked them to pay $5,000 to come for a seminar. I said, no, don't worry. Don't worry. I already know. I saw my grandfather how he did it. You can't wing life like that. You can't. Hello, good morning.
Hello, Arimo. How are you? Alex here.
Okay. Alex, did you call me earlier?
No, I didn't.
Oh, someone sounded like this. All right, welcome.
Yeah. Okay, so I didn't have the fortune of meeting my mother-in-law. But you see, when you know, it's always a red flag for me when somebody describes somebody else's wife as a lazy wife at home.
Yeah.
Do you know how can you describe your boss's wife at home? Can you describe your colleague's wife at home? It's only when you're living there, right?
Yeah.
And that place is not really for you to go and live there. That's why I say it's always a red flag when you're describing somebody's wife in his house as lazy. You know that there are some things we see in each other in this world that we just love this person for. And that's the reason why we even married. Then somebody else comes and tells you, this person is like this. That word lazy, when you are describing somebody else's wife in his house as lazy, it means that you were doing something that you weren't supposed to have been doing in the house.
Or you were somewhere you shouldn't have been.
Yes, that's just it. Think about it yourself now. That's the way I see it. My mom, for instance, cannot even be describing my sister-in-law's house. She doesn't even have any business there. You know? They even plead for her to come. Not that she has all the love, she has all the space in her house for them to come and play in her house. But not for her to pack her things and go and be living in their house. You know? And then I like the other part of the lady's contribution, though, where she said you should kill the people with love. I love that part.
Yeah.
It made me happy. But the part that said that you're describing somebody else's wife as lazy.
Now you not enter. Thank you very much.
No, you not enter.
I'm going to talk about that in a bit, but I've got Constantine on the line on Skype. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning. Thank you for calling. Where are you calling us from?
From Czech Republic. I like this beautiful topic today.
Thank you.
You know, I believe that the way, let me generalize, the in-law treats the wife you marry is actually the problem of the man, starting from where you started in your relationship. You know, some men are so bound that anything that happens in their family, they will have to discuss it with their mother or maybe their brothers or sisters. That's adult life. I believe the man should cover up for his wife. Should know there are some areas that your wife likes. When it comes to your family, you should find a way to actually cover it up. But that being said, there are just some wives that are demon.
Yeah.
There are some wives that are just demon. Like the way you said it is stereotype.
Yeah.
They are imagination that when they come to marriage, the mother-in-law will be bad. They're trying to alienate the husband from
his family.
That I don't like, because what I'm saying is that I have this friend, we were in school together. This was supposed to be the woman I was going to marry. So when we visit this friend's family, the mother has a kind of little bit deformity. So when the mother, anytime the mother prepare a meal, this girl will not eat the food.
Wow.
First time I didn't pay attention to it. The second time I called my friend, I was like, what is going on here? I've seen this lady eating this kind of meal before. Why is it that she feels somehow like, I don't know
she
how.
She feels irritated.
Irritated anytime your mom prepares a meal. I don't like this. Why can't you talk to her? Because if I was to be his brother and I witnessed such thing, believe me, that marriage will never happen. And if my brother decides to marry her, that would be the end of the relationship for both of us. So I think the ladies that are about to marry, they should also consider that going to a marriage does not mean they should not speak like that.
All right, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your thought. Yeah, so let's talk about the laziness thing. It's featured about a number of times now. For me, I've seen that in Africa, our description of lazy, the word is lazy, it's just a four-letter word, but apparently it means different things. So it's like you check the dictionary and there's meaning one, there's meaning two. So laziness is not just that you don't want to work to make money. Laziness for men is somehow different from laziness for women. So laziness for women is generally described as you don't want to wash plates, sweep the floor, wash clothes, fold clothes, cook food, go to the market, you know, do quote unquote women thing. Right, you're described as lazy. So see, when I talked about our backgrounds and our experiences, a lot of us don't give rope and room for other people. So possibly when you grew up, you wear clothes just once a day. I realized, and I was almost shocked to realize that some people wear the same clothes for multiple times. I can't for the life of me. But some people can wear one piece of clothes repeatedly. They say, but I only wore it for 2 hours, or I only wore it for 1 day. It has not finished its work now. Why will I wash it? So I'll fold it back in the wardrobe and keep it. So that, for someone like me, that might irritate me, but that's what that person is used to. Some people are used to sweeping and mopping their houses every day. For some people, you just pick the dirt, you sweep everything together on the weekend. If that's how you grew up, if you marry somebody who sweeps and dusts everywhere every day, then you're going to be lazy. You're going to be a dirty person. So do you understand what I'm saying? That you need to talk about these things. Your yardstick of lazy might not be another person's yardstick of lazy. But is there room for improvement? Yes. I've emphasized on the word blending. But you can't expect that person to flip. It's not a switch. It's a blending. But you want that person to be like this now. You're going to cause a lot of conflict that might not be resolved. All right. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show. What's your name?
My name is Emeka. I'm calling from Ketuekwe.
Welcome, sir.
Something about laziness. Everybody has laziness in his body.
That's it.
Like now, I'm a man. I have my own laziness. If I marry a woman now, maybe God pick it for me. I see that woman is capable to feed me and feed me. If I'm not a man enough, I will be lazy.
Mm.
Most of all those women, like now, if I marry a woman now, if that woman is a lazy somehow, not that I will say I'm a man enough to take care of that, I will not go and complain. But I will not go and complain if my family is not capable enough. I still go and complain to people that is capable to give me advice. Maybe people of all those counselors or people that go to more than me. I will not go to anybody I see on the street to come and complain because I don't know the person's problem.
Mm.
So everybody's lazy. Nobody's not lazy. Nobody.
That's correct. That's very correct. Thank you. I agree with you. Everybody's got something that they are either not good at or they don't like doing. Me, Wemimo, I do not like domestic chores. I don't like it. Can I do it? Very well. Do I like doing it? Nah. I do not. I'd rather work for money. I prefer to do that one. But you see that other one, I'll just outsource. I always outsource it. So if you look at me now, you say, well, Mimo is lazy. Okay, you two tell me, do you think that I'm a lazy person? Like, by what yardstick would you call me a lazy person? But if your description of laziness is, did you sweep today? Did you wash the omo? You go tail, because I do not do it and I will not do it. So I'd rather just give it to somebody else to do. Can I do it? Yes. If I have to, will I do it? Yes. But would I on my own just wake up and be washing toilet and... No, I would not. I would not be doing that. No, sorry. Come on. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show.
How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. I'm only hungry. I'm hungry. Yeah, but I'm okay.
Okay.
What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Paul.
Welcome, Paul.
And if I may make some contribution to marriage.
Yes, please. Please go ahead.
And issues relating to family.
Yes, please.
You will know that... In those days, before you get married, that is what they call investigation.
Yes.
You try to understand the family you are going into or the family you are marrying from and know their background and their attitudes and the way they react and behave.
Yes.
And if it doesn't tally with your own idea, they will advise against it.
Yes.
That is lacking in these days.
Mm.
people are getting married on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
People are getting married, they see themselves on the street, and they go into it without making reference to the background of the persons involved.
Yeah.
That is where most of these problems are coming from.
I totally agree. Thank you very much. I absolutely agree. You know, I said earlier on about, you know, talking. It's funny that, you know, most people who are going into marriage, they don't talk about these important things. So just assume that you would wing it. You will, when you get to that bridge, you cross it. Some bridges are uncrossable. Pardon me to create that word. Some bridges, you can't cross them. You can't, because the bridge is already broken before you get there. But you didn't even ask about the bridge. You just got on the journey. So now you are halfway on the bridge and then it's broken. How are you going to fix it when you're already there? Right? All right. I'm on WhatsApp now. It's 08095975805. My name is Wemi Mosa. Your name is Undu from Ojodu. It says, mothers-in-law's problems deeply depend on the type of family background of both parties involved. At times, it starts from either the wife or the mother-in-law. Some girls are wolves. They come to take all, forgetting that someone raised the man, while some mothers-in-law also think that once their son gets married, he will not take care of them again. You're absolutely correct. Nika from Ali Mosho says, Wemimo, you see some daughters-in-law are fetish, and they find any slight chance to fight against their mothers-in-law. In my case, my brother's wife, after their wedding, told my brother to drive my mom out of the house. For over 15 years, we didn't speak to or hear of my brother until she died, until the wife died. So it's best to find a good wife to marry and understand the husband. Ah, well, that's serious. Osman Adam from Zaria City in Kaduna State. Hi, thank you for sending in your message. Oladede Fatai says, see, there are many sides to this issue. I've seen someone who isolated himself and the wife from the family, and the family never interfere. At some point, the husband got very sick, and the wife couldn't go to the family to even inform them of the husband's sickness. Unfortunately, he died, and the family never even looked at the wife and the kids for 1 second. What about that? You know, I started this thought because I've been thinking about this topic all weekend long. Excuse me. And I asked earlier when I started the show, why a lot of families are very distant. I love family, so that's my kind of person. I love family. I expect that we're going to offend one another, and I expect that we're going to genuinely forgive one another, and I expect that some people will still be silly, and they'll be the silly family members. You can't take that one away, all right? So, but you need to, you know, be circumspect. You didn't tell me your name. You think that when a mother-in-law stays for a long time, issues happen. Like mine has been around for 2 years, eh? And it's becoming inconvenient. I even need advice. What advice now? She has been around for too long. She needs to... Doesn't she have a home? Okay, if she has a home, is she staying alone? Maybe she's lonely. Maybe you need to get a help for her. A housemaid or something. Or someone who comes in the morning. You need to have a conversation with your spouse. Chris is here from Accra. Thank you so much. He said a table-breaking series. Yeah, that's what we do. He said there's a good and a man in everybody. It is knowing better that makes you project the good. Okay, you mean there's good and bad in every man. It's knowing better that makes you project the good over the bad. Partners should learn to protect both sides, your wife and your family. I totally agree with you. It's to find the balance here. CJ from Ogun State said, you sent me a DM. Is it money? Are you sending me money? If you I'll check it when I'm done here. Just give me a moment. I'll respond. Emmanuel from VI says, when you talk about laziness, there must be a basic or average standard for it. I understand some people are lazy because they don't do what they don't like. How about someone who just sit and do nothing but eat simple because he or she does not like working? No, that one, come on now. That's why I said sometimes we have, there's a shade to laziness. Laziness is, the meaning is simple. Like you don't like to walk. Like you know, you're waiting for everybody to feed you. And that's male and female, because there are women who do not even want to work. Well, again, it's not as simple as I've put it. There's a shade to everything, and I don't have all the time to explain that today. Good morning. Hello. All right. Sorry about that. By the way, if you're a man, you should go to Facebook and follow the page for men. It's a very tough terrain trying to do something for men. You know, African men are still very rigid. They're still very, oh, leave us alone. We know everything. We know what we're doing. No, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. And I'm going to help you to try to know what you're doing. That's if you follow Provision Man. Can I take a call? No, I can't. I need to give you give a moment, and I'll wrap up in a moment. Or can I come back? Let's see. Stay here. Out because my time's totally up. It's been fantastic. Next week we're continuing on the in-law series. We're going to talk about living with your in-laws. Broom. Yeah, we're going to break that table next week Monday from 9 to 10. Again, if you're a man, I see that there's some women on that Facebook group. If I catch you, it's Provision Man. We've got something coming up soon to help everybody who's trying to get married or those who are married already. It will happen in September. I'll be putting the details up there on the Facebook page. All right, I'm still around reading the news for the rest of the day. What's up, Lagos is at 10 after the news. And then there's Sunnyside at 12, Hardfax at 3, and so much more throughout the day and the night. I'm on social media at Wemimo Sport. If you sent a message, give me a moment. I'll get back to it. Don't go away.
And sports after this.
Are you tired of falling prey to crafty mechanics? Does your spare part?
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like the brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like the brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like the brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.